You're listening to the Noble and Roos Show, brought to you by Ball is Life and Dash Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the Noble and Roos Show, hosted by Ball is Life. I'm your host, Roos Williams, with my co-host, Zach Noble.
We out here.
Yeah.
And Rip City.
And today, man, I'm really excited because we have, I think, one of my favorite players to root for in the league, Portland Trailblazer swingman, Robert Covington. Robert, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm smooth, man. Just, like I said, just relaxing, getting ready, relax for tomorrow. Just chilling.
Tired. Smooth, but that head's got to be bumpy, man. That Zion elbow last night.
This seems
did
like
it phase you?
No, it fazed me, but I get hit every game, so you just gotta run with it. That's what made me such a tough player.
That grit.
Man, to be honest with you, I have been, you know, when I throughout the years of playing or whatever, I've been hit with so many elbows, and I've been just nailed in the face, like very seriously. And I always wonder. It feels like it doesn't happen that often at the NBA level. But I feel like it does happen a lot, and guys like you just keep moving through it, and people like us just don't really notice. Is that right?
Pretty much. You know, it's a lot of times. I'm a guy that's hella active. So, you know, at times I find myself at the bad end of the spectrum when it comes to that. But, you know, like I said, I had a play last night where I got hit in the face, and like for a second I just had to gather myself, and then I threw my mask, and then I went contested a shot, and you know, if I didn't do that, they probably made that shot. So
you know, I was worried about you there for a minute last night. But what's it like guarding Zion, man?
I mean, he's a freight train. You gotta contain him. You know, he's a guy that can do a lot. He's super explosive. Like you said, you just gotta maintain him, you know, and do your best to not allow him to hit that trampoline.
Is he as unique as he looks on TV?
Absolutely. You know, he's very different, you know, as he learns the game and the different spectrums right now, like you say, he's still feeling out, and he's very efficient, you know. Very, very efficient. And, you know, just the main thing with him is just staying healthy. You know, his body structure is, like, unique. And it ain't too many people that's that size, that's jumping as high as him, that's moving like him. So, you know, he got to really put a huge emphasis on taking care of his body so he can last a long time in the league.
Yeah, when I see guys, you know, it just reminds me of Blake Griffin, honestly. Blake Griffin wasn't as big. He was a little taller, obviously, and slimmer. But he, like, guys with that bounce and that explosion that use it on, like, as many plays as they use it on, you just get scared that something bad could happen. I hope Zion takes care of his body, and I hope he saves some of that explosion for a couple years down the line instead of just using all the juice right now.
Yeah.
When you guard him, like, does that body weight – does it just shift people on its own? Like, does he have the Shaq type body weight where he just moves a defender without even trying?
I mean, yeah, he's a big dude, so I mean, he's capable of a lot. You know, I've seen a clip where, you know, he ran over my boy Rashawn when they played Sacramento. So, like you said, usually gotta brace yourself for the hit because he's gonna use his body. So. You know, you got to be able to, you know, catch the first hit and, you know, keep pushing from there.
I know you haven't played against him much, but, I mean, what do you realize? Like, at what point do you think you can stop him from trying to take off? I mean,
you just got to catch that first move.
Free throw line?
Yeah, you got to catch that first move. You don't catch that first move, you good luck.
All right. Do you think he has a ton of moves right now?
I mean, right now he's playing off of strictly talent and explosion, you know, but like you said, he gets to his spots. You know, he gets to his spots. Yesterday was he got to his spot a lot. You know, I was in foul trouble, so it was like a lot of times where I was kind of late, so I didn't want to, you know, put my team in a position to, you know, get that last foul. So, but, you know, I couldn't stop being aggressive. And, you know, some of the plays we did, there's a lot of team. There's a lot of team plays that, you know, we followed the game plan and, you know, just overall just followed everything that we needed to do. So, you know, Dame showed up big for us. And we got to stop.
That game was wild. That was one of the best games on the year. I mean, how do you guys pulled that out outside of Dame and grinding on some stops on your end? I mean, that was unbelievable, man. I mean, what was the turning point there?
All it was is just, you know, just keep chipping away at it. You know, said the more and more that we was able to, you know, get back closer and closer, because when they had the lead, they was playing comfortable. Like, but once the dynamic of the game started to shift, when, you know, we started to chip away and we with 3 minutes to go and it's a 4-point game, you know, it's kind of like a veteran team. Like, we understood that we had him at that point. We just had to keep, you know, like I said, string together the stops that we needed, and we was able to do that.
And yeah, I mean, like y'all mentioned, Dame came through and dropped 50 in them things. I was going to ask you, Rob, you have had the special privilege of playing with a unique set of superstars in your career, two big men, two guards, Cat and Embiid, James Harden, and now Dame Lillard. So I wanted to ask you, you know, having gone through that unique experience, when you're playing with Dame, like, what is special about Dame that you can tell being his teammate, like having played with him now for, you know, half a season?
He don't stop, dog. You know, he, no matter if shots fall or shots not, like, he's going to sit up and he puts that much pressure on the game, like, and he knows what he's capable of. Like, he don't stray away from the big moments. You know, he don't stray away from it at all. Like you said, it's one of the things I think that, you know, he's probably the clutchest player I play with, you know, dynamically, statistic wise, he is.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, just big shot after big shot, after big shot. Like I said, I've played with a lot of guys that have done that. But, you know, to do it on a consistent basis, the way he's done, what all he's been projecting, that just shows, like, man, you know, he's capable of a lot. And like I said, I'm just glad I don't got a guard on him.
You know, yo, better than Harden?
He's a different matchup because he's so little. Like, Dame is, like, he knows how to find them seams. Now, James is unique in his own way too, you know. But I think Dame just he don't get enough appreciation. He don't get enough appreciation of how good he really is, and he knows it. But, you know, he just goes out and you see what he said, puts respect on his name, and, you know, he continues to go out night in, day in, day out, you know.
Man,
do it on the big stage and continuously.
There's no two players, and even Dame just this year watching him super closely, that resemble a boxer going seven rounds more than this dude right now. Like, you can just see him, like, just, oh, I'll go get down 10 the first quarter. I get a little tired, and then just he'll know when to strike, you know, and just freaking bury a lot. And it's just so smooth, and you see the buildup, and God, it's amazing, man.
That's a hell of a metaphor, because, you know, Dame loves boxing,
right?
Loves boxing and everything. So
it feels, you know, like he's just studying and relating it.
Well, yeah, he's that dude. Like, watching it as a fan, when he's playing against your team, you never feel comfortable, you know, because you're like, yo, it could take.
He certainly is.
Yeah,
but he needed your ass, because he needed that guy that just fucking picks up. Gets a clutch board, somebody that's going to kick it out, D up the guy that he.
Hey, that's
dirty work, man.
That's what I was brought here for, man. I was brought here to do all that. And, you know, like I said, I'm starting to get more and more comfortable, you know, on the other side. But defensively, I've always been that. I've been there from the beginning and getting used to the new principles of everything. But now everything is just starting to come into full effect. And, you know, that's just going to make it that much more deadlier. You know, we just got to continue to build upon it. Cause like I said, this season is one for the ages right about now. So, you know, we just got to keep staying with it, stay with the course.
Yo, you said something really interesting to me. You said that Dame doesn't get the recognition he deserves, and he knows it. So are you saying, hey, first of all, I think he gets a, I think he's recognized as one of the top 10 players in the league, which he is.
He's top five.
You can recognize it, but, you know, Stephen A. Smith just said it, you know, just a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, just because he's in a smaller market, like, he's not talked about as much. Like, yeah, we see him, like, and hear about it, but, like, people don't give him that love that he's, you know, he deserves. Hey, it's been a lot of times where, you know, he's been overlooked and all that, but, you know, he just figured just because he's in a smaller market. But they ain't been doing this for a very long time, man.
It's just the fact that Roosh is calling him top 10 when he's much closer to that.
Nah, right now Dame's top. Right now Dame's top five.
Right now Dame is top five. He's an MVP candidate, absolutely.
He's top three. I mean, he's top three because of the way everything is going. Like, Dame is putting up unbelievable numbers, and what he's doing is like night in, night out. And on top of that, without CJ Nurk, you know, for a good stretch.
I think depending on where you got him, he's three or four. Two.
Nah, I'm putting him top three.
I can handle it. I
would say it goes.
He's in MVP race. Heavily.
Absolutely. I think right now it's Embiid, unless he misses too many games, because he's got Philly in the number one spot. I'm talking right now. If the season ended right now, Embiid. I think Harden, man. Harden. They got the two seed. He's been playing out of his mind. And then you take your pick between Dame and Jokic, whichever one you think.
I'm putting Dame up there.
I won't disagree with that.
I'm putting Dame up there.
I won't disagree with that. But I was also going to ask you, you said something interesting, man. You mentioned the coasts. And as a fan, I don't know if you can tell, if you see my hoodie, I'm from Houston.
And the first thing I noticed.
Yeah. I got a lot of love for your time in Houston, man. You balled out in the playoffs. You went. I don't know if you ever seen me tweet at you, but I said Rocco went loco. You went crazy against Oklahoma City. Played
game 6-7.
Yeah, man. Man, your numbers were crazy, and that was a crazy series. But I was going to ask you, I'm from Houston, and so I feel like if you're not on one of the coasts, your team is in trouble, because unless you start winning quick, your superstar is going to want to go. And the good role players and veterans are going to want to go somewhere in New York or somewhere in L.A. or Miami. Do you think that's true?
No, not necessarily. It just depends on people's mindset. You know, you want to join them guys or you want to beat them. Which one do you think would be more satisfying?
Well, what do you think people are training towards these days? What do you think is predominant? Which one of those mindsets?
I mean, you see everything what people are doing. Everybody's trying to win at this point.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to win.
And that leads in to my next question, which was, everyone's trying to win. James Harden, definitely trying to win. And so he left, asked out of Houston, and so far it's looking like it paid off for him.
You
were the first piece to fall. I remember when I saw the tweet that Robert Covington is getting traded, I was like, whoa, what? Like, I thought you were...
That's the same reaction I had.
I mean, fan base was like, what? You know, because you were a beloved role player for the Rockets, and it was like half a season, man. Like, I didn't get it. And so everyone was like, whoa. And I was going to ask you, what was that like for you, hearing all the rumors and seeing all the videos and seeing everybody saying X, Y, Z, Harden's in the strip club, yada, 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 when you were still on the Rockets, like, as a team member, seeing the ship kind of sinking? Like, what was that like?
Listen, I can't control what nobody do. Like, that ain't my focus. That people live their own lives. Like, whatever you want to, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. More power to you. But at the end of the day, I worry about Robert Covington and what goes on my end. Like, absolutely. I show up, do my job, and like, at the end of the day, I can't control what other people do.
The problem is with Robert Covington is, you're the most needed role player there is, man. Every team you fit in perfectly, and your contract's just right at that right tradable number. That it's tough.
It's a lot of variables that, you know, that plays a part. That's a blessing. You know, I go from a guy that, you know, once was, you know, people said I'm not supposed to be in this league, to becoming, you know, a prolific guy that a lot of teams want on their team. you know, that's just a testament to all the hard work and everything. So for me, you know, that's a big stepping stone. It just shows about the work that I paid off and I've done. You know, I came in this league, people didn't know nothing about me. You know, I went to a smaller school and, you know, I've had to really work for everything. You know, I wasn't given anything. It wasn't nothing put in front of me like, oh yeah, huh, here. No, I had to literally take everything. And that's what I've been able to do. And, you know, like I said, everything's paid off. So, you know, I've only been structuring and wired to me, my circle, and the people that I've got like around me. That's what I'm worried about. You know,
yeah.
I've changed a lot around me though. Like over the past couple years, last 2 years or so, a lot has changed around me. You know, a lot of less faces that's around me. You know, my circle got smaller. You know, people, you know, that I once thought was going to be there long term, not there no more. So a lot of different factors. So like I said, I'm only worried about me and, you know, my circle, who's the best from, you know, what I'm doing. And if people not, you know, a part of that and that's been there, like, you know, that's fine. That's okay. Like it's part of life. People come, people go, but I can't sit up here and stress myself. I can't worry. I got too much stuff going on in my personal life that's working out for me to be worried about something else that somebody else got going on. Like,
for sure.
You know, I'm on a spectrum of thinking about how I can be the best version of me and, you know, make as many changes in life that I can. So, you know, that's what my focus is about inspiring and motivate and, you know, doing the little things that help other people.
The fact that you say you do these things and it proves on the court, you adjust everywhere just immediately, man. I mean, you're professional. I mean, you know the business, you know how it goes. And I mean, you've been through it way too many times for a guy of your caliber. But I mean, what trade has surprised you the most, more than any of them, kind of like just threw you off guard?
The Philly trade, the first one. Because I literally had no clue. And like I said, it happened unexpectedly. Like, I literally woke up to me getting ready to go for a meeting to find out I was trading. I didn't get no phone call. Like, and then I even asked the organization, like, beforehand, because all the summer, you know, I was hearing trade talks. But, you know, it was a huge factor that I had to think about, because my ex-girlfriend and her son at that time, her son, they were going to potentially move to Philly with me. And I was hearing all this trade talk. So I'm like, if it's potential that, you know, I'm going to get traded, I'm not going to have them move up there with me. And, you know, Elton Brand, you know, told me that, and Brett Brown told me, like, you know, you are part of the foreseeable future. And so, like, you've been here, like, you put the time in and, like, you know, you fit in with this team. So, you know, we see you. We want you here. We see you here. And, you know, I left it at that. I went to him multiple times and asked, and they told me the same thing. So after the third time, I didn't bother. And then less than a month later, you know, I wake up. We in Memphis. I wake up to, you know, all the notifications. My phone going crazy.
GM's been the realest with you? That no bullshit. Like, who's been the realest keeping it straight with you all the time? That you, it's hard to trust anybody at this stage, I'm sure, but
it is. But, you know, like I said, I'd rather just be upfront with you. I'm gonna be professional at all times. Like, I'm not a guy that's gonna, you know, sit up here and like do anything that's gonna jeopardize the team. Because at the end of the day, my job is still online as well. If I become a toxicness to the team, like, they can report that to the other team, then it could be a whole different situation. But that's never the case been me. You know, the GM that's been the realest, you know, is here, Minnesota. You know, they told me, they was like, Cub, you know, you deserve to win, and we put you in position to, you know, we're not in the best position right now, and, you know, everything that you've done, you know, we want you to go and, you know, go and potentially win a championship. So that was, like I said, that was the realest thing that, you know, that was kept me real with me. And, you know, here, Neil has been, you know, upfront in a lot of ways. And, you know, the whole organization, you know, just in general has been phenomenal. So, you know, I think this is probably the all around, the one that's been the best. Granted, Philly, you know, was a very, very dope, but it's just that last one put a sour taste in my mouth. But you know, it's no hard feelings now. Like you said, you know, during that time, you know, I didn't understand, and because, like I said, it was no real explanation. Like, yeah, you know, you told me one thing, and then less than a month later, like, I get traded, and then like it's a very like brief exchange. Like,
yeah,
it was like, hey, we traded you to Minnesota. Like, you know, it's unfortunate. It's a part of the business, but you know, I wish you well, and you know, looking forward to seeing you in the future. Like, that was the initial breakdown. Like, it was no like real sympathy behind it, and I was just like, oh, cool. And you know, things didn't really affect me until like the fall, the rest of that year, like after I got hurt and all the other stuff. Like, I fell into a dark place, dog.
Fell into, yeah, we a talked real dark about that place. Last time.
Yeah, fell into that dark place, and it was just like, wow,
doing good.
And I never really realized it until, you know, until after that moment. But then, like I said, I've been traded twice since then. You know, I've been traded twice since then, from Minnesota to Houston, and then Houston to here. So, and that's been in less than a year.
Have you unpacked? I mean,
man, I'm
packing light.
But I'm unpacking. Nah, I ain't unpacking light. I moved my entire house from Houston here. You know,
you gotta live.
Got to be in my own comfort zone. You know, that played a part in it. You know, at that initial playing, you know, kind of like up and down, it played a part in it, because that staying in the hotel room is not it. After staying in the hotel for the whole bubble, it's just being in your own space and your own comfort. Like, it's what does it for me. And, you know, like I said, not being able to see family, friends, that played a huge factor in everything. So, you know, once life got back to normal, once I finally moved into my place and like I kind of settled down and, you know, I settled into my home, like everything else started to take a turn. You know, I started to play better. I started to, you know, feel a lot better on the court. You know, that stuff, it all plays a part in it. And, you know, like I said, I'm just glad now that I'm able to be, you know, in my comfort. Like, I could be in my home relaxing. I could go in my living room, chill. I could go upstairs and chill. I could go, you know, outside on my balcony and chill, like, and do different things. I can be in my own space and I can move around. Like, I'm comfortable now. I got my animals here. Like, I'm really settling into my place. And so, you know, that's a warming feeling. And that's what allows you to, you know, feel better and play better.
Do you ever, in that case, Rob, do you ever feel like you're at home?
Yeah. Yeah. I always feel like I'm at home. If I'm in a specific city and like I live there, you know, I always make it feel like home. You know, it's about the comfort and convenience. You know, I have my home in Tennessee. That's my primary home. But, you know, the only place that I've been in that hasn't been long term is, you know, Minnesota and Houston. You know, I was in Minnesota for a year. I was in Houston for less than 6 months. You know, so, I mean, them was the only two places that, you know, was that bad. You know, Philly, you know, felt like home more because I was there the longest. You know, so as you go in your career, like, you know, you always make things feel like home, but it's just about, you know, how comfortable you are within them settings. And I've always been comfortable, but it's just, you know, being able to move around in them environments, and that's what does it for me.
Well, since you mentioned your short stints in Minnesota and Houston, I was going to ask you about, of course, I have to. I was going to ask you about Houston, because you got traded to Houston basically for Clint Capella, right? And so all of a sudden you go from 3-and-D on the wing to small ball 5, which had to be a crazy transition for you. It was wild for us to watch. At first I was like, what? I mean, I guess. And then y'all started rolling and I was like, okay, you know, and it was cool. And then it played out how it played out, but you stretched the floor. You were hitting threes. You averaged a career high in blocks. I think you had over 2 a game, 2.2. Some of the craziest blocks like I've ever seen.
2.6.
My bad. Okay.
Yeah, it was like 2.6.
We were going crazy, man. Cause like some of those blocks, like you were straight up playing center. Right. And,
Don't so get it twisted.
Huh?
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, my bad. Like licorice, bitch.
Round up to three, man.
But
call it three.
But so I was going to ask you, man, what was it like? Because it's like y'all went on this wild experiment for like half a season, and then COVID hit. Y'all started heating up too when COVID hit.
Yeah.
And then everything put on pause, and you come back to the bubble. Russ gets hurt, whatever. Things play out how they do. House gets sent home and whatever. So what was that like? Like you just kind of went to this like, you know, basketball experiment. It tried, you know, tried it out, didn't work. And it seems like everyone that was involved is now gone. Like, is that a wild experience? Can you elaborate on that?
It's a wild transition. Yeah. You know, pretty much everybody's gone. You know, PJ Tucker just got traded today.
Yep. Shout out to PJ Tucker. I love PJ Tucker.
Yeah. Sneaker King. but you know, like I said, it's nobody there. Russ, James, Jeff, PJ is gone.
Austin Rivers. House and Gordon.
Insert the Will Smith name here.
Only people that are still there is House and Gordon. And, you know, Chris Clemens still there. I don't know if Bruno is still there or
He's not.
Well, shout out, Bruno.
Yeah, DeMar's not there no more. Jeff Green's not there.
Oh, DeMar,
so, I mean,
man.
Pretty much.
I wish DeMar should have got a chance to play. I don't know why he didn't.
I mean, it was just how the rotation was going. And Coach and him had a talk with him. And he was just like, man, we brought you here, you know, to play. But it's just like, you know, things happen. And so he was just like, I ain't never going to be not be ready. You know, if that time permits, but you know, it's just one of them unfortunate things that, you know, he fit the system perfectly. Exactly.
He fit the system perfectly. Bro, I was on Rockets Twitter saying, yo, that, I mean, even if Coach doesn't trust him, he should at least get like just some minutes just to give people a rest at the least. But like, he's a vet, he's 3D, 6'6", smart. You know, he does the little things like every team can use a guy like that. Well, what were those things? You said Coach said things happened. Like what? You just decided not to play him?
I mean, it's just the rotations. The rotations got shorter, and you know, dumber. The rotations just got shorter. So I mean, you know, especially in playoffs, you know, especially in playoffs, and he came a little bit late when everything was going on. So it was just like when it was trying to like figure out things. I think we had Tabo still.
Some coaches are scared.
He knows what DeMar was capable of. I mean, that's why he brought him. He advocated for him coming here. So, you know, it was unfortunate that he didn't play.
The only thing he didn't do was his three. He was just down on his threes, but it was such a small size, sample size, that it's like, you know, he's a vet.
I mean, a lot of people was down on threes. So it was just like, it's a give or take. But I mean, like I said, it's just unfortunate that he wasn't able to play.
Sorry, Zach. I just want to follow up with this. Do you wish y'all had a chance to just run it back for like a real year and see what could have happened?
Absolutely, I would. But you know, like I said, you know, I was the first to go. You know, when that happened, I just knew like it was gonna be a trickle.
Absolutely, bro. It was a trickling effect.
Yeah. At that time, yeah, I would love. I was ready to run it back. You know, but when I got that call, okay, cool. Now my focus is here. Now my focus shifts. Yep. And that same mentality, that same mindset is what I brought here. And, you know, it's what I'm going to continue to bring here. You know, this organization is super dope. So, you know, I'm looking forward to what the future holds.
I'm glad you ended up in a situation next to a guy like Dame with the team, with that talent. Coach Stotts, by the way, I think is a great coach. So I'm glad you got this opportunity to continue competing.
Yeah, as I learned the system more and more, it allowed me to get more comfortable, because at first, you know, just trying to fit in and like figure out like, because the style of play I played in Houston is space and like just move out of the way. But now it's like different. Like now you're actually being utilized in different actions and everything. And, you know, it's a different dynamic. So
do you like one better than the other?
I like it here.
I'm saying, do you like one type of like approach to basketball, like that, like system wise?
No, I just playing.
Mr. Adaptable.
Yeah, It's not one system that I can't fit in. So, you know, I can adapt easily. I can do a lot of different things. And it took a little while for me to get adapted here, but that was just because, like I said, it was the me being in a hotel and like trying to find a house and trying to get all of this other stuff together in such a short amount of time. Like, you know, and then having to pick up, move across the world, like across the port, like it's different. Then, you know, not having that time with the family and, you know, everybody is 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours ahead of me. You know, it's a lot of different things that play a part in it. So, and for a while, like with the COVID restrictions, you know, you can't visit, you know, family can't visit, you know, so it was a lot of different things that played a part in it. So, like I said, it's just, you know, you just got to take it for what it is. And it was the adjustment part. But now, like I said, you know, I've had my family here. I've got to spend time with them, like, and it's starting to get back. I think it's going to start to get back to normal soon. During stretches of games, I definitely will be able to, you know, be able to see them more often. And like I said, it's just a lot of different things that play a part in it. So, like I said, for me, it's just spending time with family and like being in that comfort, like being in my own element. That's what I had to get back to. And that's what played a part in me in the beginning. Cause like I said, I was in a hotel room. I didn't have no car. I didn't have no means to get around. No, that was just strictly gym, hotel, arena, hotel, flight, hotel. Like, and that kind of play, it's kind of weak to me.
Bro, Basketball Reference says one of your nicknames is Rock. I think you're closer to Jello the way you adapt. A sponge or some sort. I mean, way close to that. I mean, you could, sure, Rock could fit at times, but let's be honest here. Let's be honest. So, speaking of adapting to things, early in the season, people were hating on you, Slater. That three wasn't falling, but you were doing all your other things that you do and bring to the table and be valuable that you are. And I always had your back. And now what people aren't talking about right now is these last seven games. You're comfortable. You found your spot. Here's your numbers right now. Last seven games, we're at 13-7. Two steals, two blocks, and the splits of 51, 49 from three, and 71 from the line. Like, that's Rob at his finest right there. Like,
look like regular numbers. No. they look like the fluent numbers of when I'm in good timing. Everybody goes to that stretch where, you know, that ball didn't go, but them looks still stay the same. You know, as long as you stay with it, you know, they gonna fall. And that's always been my mindset. You know, people always had something to say about my shot and all the everything. When it's going good, they on your toes. When it's going bad, they turn back like you. They on, and that stuff still pretty much. As long as on the other end, I'm still guarding and still doing what I got to do. Like, them shots gonna fall. Yeah. And like I said, now they're starting to fall, and like everything else is starting to come and play. Like, everything's starting to come back full circle. So, you know, it just makes that much more deadlier. And, you know, it builds a different level of confidence as well. You know, it gives me the extra boost on the other end, because, you know, sometimes that three ball, that dagger three or something, like that's a big, you know, energy boost. That's a big energy boost. And so that gives you that extra little give on that other side, and it allows you to play a lot harder.
Yeah, one thing I really appreciated and noticed about you watching you in Houston was that you don't care. When you get it, you'll shoot it. You do not care. You don't care if you're 0-for-7. You don't care if somebody's closing out and in your face. You predetermine. It looks like you're like, I'm about to shoot it. You catch it and you shoot it. And with that comes that level of confidence you're talking about. Because there are a lot of times, man, in Houston, you'd be like 1-for-3 or 2-for-6. And then late in the game, bang, big shot, you know? You just don't care. You had that confidence. So
it don't matter, because if you're thinking about that shot from second quarter, you ain't going to think about taking that shot. Then that could be a game changer. That could be something that's – I played in Philly. They was the toughest fans in America. When it comes down to it, the level of like things that I've heard and all this, I've had friends that almost got into fights and stands. One person almost got knocked out by my mama before. Like, Listen.
So you're tough, you're hardened.
So, I mean, it doesn't, like, none of that stuff bothers me. You know, I've had friends that have gotten to it. I've had family. You know, I've heard of my mother shutting somebody up in the stands. Like, because the dude was riding me heavy because I sat up here and matter of fact, I'm gonna give you a prime example. It was Minnesota when I was in Philly. I shot the ball terrible. I had the game winning layup, and all of a sudden the dude started sitting up here. Like, and then my mom was like, nah, where's that same energy at when you sat up here and you just right. pounded him for the first four, 3.5 quarters? Like, nah, keep that same. Like, don't switch up. But that's a lot of how Philly fans was. And, you know, when things are going good, they own you heavy. But when they're going bad, they're going to let you hear it. And I've even had a couple times where I've said something to somebody before. One person said something about my family before, and I had literally basketball went out the door. Like basketball went out the door. I was like, "Yo, you say something like that ever again, I'm gonna jump in these stands. You have to see me." Like you can talk whatever you want about basketball.
Can you say what they said?
You say no. Nah, I can't say what they said.
Right. I'll say this. I'm 31. I think I'm like a year and a half older than you. I can't imagine how grown men, like in their 40s, 50s, yell like, man, I might have done that kind of stuff in high school. I just can't imagine how they pay to go to a game to watch grown men and like yell that kind of stuff. It makes no sense. And like to hear it from a player like you, like, we've heard all these stories. It's just like, why does that happen? You know?
It's a sport. They be drunk. They be a lot of things be going on. Some people be high and all type of stuff. You'd be surprised at some of the stuff that goes on during games. You'd be surprised. But yeah, I sat up there, and the crazy part is the dude that I said it to, he turned out to be a season ticket holder.
God damn.
He turned out to be a season ticket holder. And I found out because I had to go to a season ticket holder event after a game. And sure enough, he was there.
Wow.
And he sat up there and he looked at me crazy. And then he came up to me and was like, hey, I just want to say I'm sorry for what I told you. You know, I was just in the heat of the game, and you know, my bad. I said, man, look, that's in the past. I said, just don't let it happen again. Like one thing I don't play about is my family. So you can say anything you want about me, but don't bring my mom, my dad, my brothers, like any. Don't bring any of them into any of this.
Oh, it's like Russ in Utah. That's he got attacked about his family. And
that's the one thing
that's acceptable.
You don't play about people's families. Like, and that's the no matter what, you can say whatever you want about me. You can say I'm terrible, like I'm whatever. Like that stuff bounces off me like nothing. Like you ain't gonna sit up here and get under my skin. But you mentioned them, oh yeah, you got a problem. You got a problem. It takes a lot to get to me. That sure. right there, that instantly, like I heard that. Not wait, what? Wait. You said, and then I heard it again when I came back. I heard him say something else again. And that's when I stopped. Like, and it just so happened that it was out of bounds play. And I sat up there and I said, before I even walked out of bounds, I said, yo, say something else. And I said, I'm going to jump in these stands and you're going to have to see me. I said, nah, forget all this other basketball stuff. Don't talk about my family.
For sure. No,
but that's just how lovely and passionate some of these fans be. And in Philly, it's all love. Like, you know, I embraced it, you know, especially when we was going through that time of, you know, the process. Oh, man, we heard everything. We heard everything in that moment. But, you know, that makes you tough. It makes you tougher. And like I said, I've been a guy that then went through the trenches in all aspects of my life when it comes to sports. So none of that stuff set up here and that bothered me. Like I just stayed with it, stayed the course, and kept getting better. Like I used all of that as fuel. Used all of it as fuel.
And so I still
hear it all.
Love it, man. No, there's the rock. There's the rock.
Absolutely.
Or is it the jello sponging it in? last year, looking back on that team, compare it to how you're feeling about this team. Like, I truly believe there was a point last year, right after COVID, when you guys were peaking, I thought you guys were legit. Like, I thought you were almost just a tad step down from the LA teams as a true contender. I thought you guys needed a big for me to call you a true contender. But in your mind, did you ever think at any point, looking back at it now and being true to yourself, did you think that was a real contender at any point in time? And same with this team, because I think this is the best Blazers team there's been in the entire Dame era. I truly believe that.
For the Houston, yeah. I definitely felt we was contenders. You know, we set the tone. We set the tone. You know, everybody was talking about the Lakers. You know, a couple other teams that was in the West. They was talking about top tier, and we beat them. Yeah. You know, we beat them, and you know the way everything was transitioning. We made
that was your first game, right?
Yeah, that was my first game.
Yeah.
Like. And I had
you
no
hit a clue. Big shot. You hit a huge shot. You sealed that one. Two of yeah. Yeah. Was, I remember that.
Couple,
oh man,
it was
I remember
a couple that. Of, it was a 3-0 and Anthony Davis, and then a 3 at the end of the game to go up. I think it was 4.
And you blocked 4. AD. You came off weak side, I think, and you blocked AD.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit.
Yeah, so I mean it was at the first few games that was in, like I said. You know, we went on that one losing streak, but you know, that's part of the NBA. You know, it happens. You know, it was a lot of things that was going on, like it happens. But I felt like that team was a big contender, especially you know in the bubble. I felt like we could really do some noise, but you know, outside noise, you know, turned everything upside down. So that's how all that broke down. And like I said, you know, I'm thinking that we was going to all run it back, but you know, the organization just started to fall down, you know.
So are you Daryl Morey
left, D'Antoni left, you know. So it was once that stuff started to happen, he was like, you know, it was going to be a transition. So, you know.
What did it feel like as a player, like in terms of job stability, when you see the GM leave, the head coach leave, like what's going through your mind?
Man, look, at the end of the day, my paycheck's still the same.
Yeah.
my paycheck's still the same. Whether D'Antoni was there or not, my paycheck's still the same. You know, and me, quite honestly, I'm not worried about none of that stuff anymore. I wasn't worried about it at that point because whatever was going to happen, like, it's out of my hands. Like, so I can't sit up here and be worried about all that. I just got to make sure I do my job and make sure I handle my business. Because whatever happens, like you can't really change it. You can't really change it.
Well, let me switch gears and ask you to contrast from that. Now you got CJ McCollum back, right? Portland's been climbing the standings. I think y'all are 5 right now. Zach, I might be wrong. 5 or 6. Might be 6 behind Denver. I'm not sure. I think 5. No, you're I think 5. 5.
That's 5.
Yeah. Trending up, right? You got one of your horses back. Your other horse has just been crushing it, like you said, top 3 MVP candidate. So what is your mindset? What's the mindset of the team? Like, what's the goal? A championship?
We just waiting on everybody to get healthy so we can finish out this season together and like build that chemistry where everybody is fully healthy. That's what we're waiting on. And once we get everybody back and we start building that chemistry and building all of that confidence with everybody being there, man, we've already shown we're capable of. Like, yeah. And the sky's the limit with us. You know, we just need that extra little bit to, you know, get us over that hump. And like you said, I'm back playing small ball center, you know, as of right now. You know, yesterday I'm playing the 5, me and Melo playing the 4 or 5. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like, that's the situation. You know, Harry got hurt, you know, Nurk's out. Only big we have now is Ennis. You know, Zach is out as well. So, you know, we haven't been full strength all year. We haven't been full strength all year.
Was Melo scared to bang with Zion a little bit? He's like, this is you, man. This is your job.
Melo ain't scared to bang with nobody.
I know.
No, Melo from that area where he wants that.
For sure. Did he hit that ice bath extra hard, though?
I believe he did. I mean, I got in there myself today. It's been long overdue. I've been talking about the ice bath the past almost week and a half, 2 weeks. But I mean,
you don't get those on the road?
You don't have access to those yet after a game on the road?
Nah, on the road, it's a lot different, man.
Is that because of COVID or is that just in general?
Yeah, because of COVID.
Okay.
Because of COVID, it's.
I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what other recovery things are holding you back?
Everything is different. Huh?
What other recovery methods are at jeopardy because of COVID, I guess?
I mean, just the simple things of like, it's not as many as we have a massage therapist on the road. No, that's really it. It's just the ice baths and everything. Right, like some places allow you to have a setup. But that's really it.
Right. You still got those snakes crawling around?
Yeah, man. I got four of them now.
What
kind of snakes?
What breed?
Huh?
What breed? What kind?
I got two ball pythons, a bumblebee, and what is it? Quad morph. And I got a Colombian rainbow boa and a Brazilian rainbow boa.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Unreal.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. I got a couple critters. And then my guy Jordan's here, you know, getting my fish tank together right now.
Oh, that's sick. What size is the fish tank? Like, what kind of fish and what size?
That's what? That's 250? A 120? 120 gallon?
Okay, you ain't fucking around.
No, my fish tank in Nashville is 980.
980?
Yeah, my fish tank is 980 gallons. It takes up a whole wall.
You got to start posting some pictures of this stuff. We got to get this.
Let me see.
Yo, do you chill with your snakes, like, just like on the couch, like watching movies and stuff, just have it on your shoulder? Or do you have them like in the cage most of the time?
Nah, I take them out all the time.
Well, that's good.
I take them out all the time. What I do is at times is I've even taken them to the practice facility a few times.
No way.
Yeah, just because, you know, people are curious. Like, people are curious and they're scared, but they're curious at the same time. And it's like I be trying to like figure out, let them see. And some people be like, yo, I'm so terrified of snakes, and then I ask them why. They don't even know why.
Yeah,
but it's because people are programmed to be like, think your snakes are so dangerous. Like, everybody, when everybody think of snakes, they think of fangs and everything. I'm like, no, not every snake has fangs. Or they think about getting strangled to death. I'm like, those are Burmese pythons, and those are all snakes that are mostly not handled properly.
Yeah,
you don't think one of your rainbow boas could? I mean, I don't want to say strangle you. You don't think so? How long do they get? I think rainbow boas get double digits, right?
So the one I have now, he is 3.5 years old, and he is 5 feet.
Okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, he's 5 feet. Matter of fact, hold on. I'll go grab him.
Please. Okay, yes. I need to see this shit.
It's awesome. Let's see. Rocket's probably getting whooped.
I'm the scared ass with the snakes.
Man, I had a friend. I had a friend from high school. I had a friend in high school who had like several snakes, and he would bring them out. Like he'd have parties, and he would bring out just a fat snake, you know, and he'd have it across his shoulder, and all the girls would be like, "Oh my god," you know, like you said, they'd be interested and scared, and yeah. When I was in high school, I was considering getting a ball python, and I went to a PetSmart or whatever with my girlfriend at the time. That's so funny. And we asked to see a snake, right? And they brought one out. And she like reached forward to pet it, and that thing goes
locked under.
It didn't lock, but it got her, and she started bleeding.
Oh man!
And so she was forever terrified of them. Hilarious, absolutely hilarious.
I'm scared, bro. Not yet. That is it's a long fight. We're a narrow fight,
dude. Yeah, he's narrow.
Hold it up from the bottom. Oh, there we go. Oh, man. What's this dude's name?
This is Eli.
Which one is this? Is this the Brazilian?
Yeah, it's the Brazilian.
Wow.
I want to back away from the screen as we talk.
That's crazy. So, Rob, I was just telling Zach, I had a friend in high school who had a bunch of snakes. Like, he'd have like 3 or 4 at a time, and he would bring them out like at parties and wear, you know, wear them across his like shoulder or whatever. And like you said, a lot of people would, they'd be interested and curious, but they'd be scared, you know, they'd be like, I want to touch
terrified.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. They'd be terrified. Yeah. And I would tell them all the time, I'd be like, they're more terrified of you than you are of them.
Yeah.
Like that's the only time, that's the only time they attack is when they feel threatened.
Right. Right. Or if so they're hungry.
Or if they're hungry, but the more you handle them, like, as you can see, like, he's very calm.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Good Lord.
Yo, so the friend I was talking about in high school, I don't know if I believe him, but he used to say he would sleep with them sometimes, like, let them freely roam and sleep. No? Okay. I don't believe him because it just, who would do that? But I'm just going off memory, but I want to say like 5 to 8 feet.
Yeah. No, he not sleeping with them.
Yeah.
Is this your favorite here or what?
Nah, my favorite one is my first one, Max.
Okay.
He the one that been through the most with me. Like, I'd had him for seven years after my rookie year. That was my very first one. And I didn't get another one until 3 years ago.
I think Dwight's the only other Hooper I know that's into snakes, right?
Nah, Danny Green is too. We're the only people in the NBA to have them.
What does Danny got?
Dwight? Well, I've always liked snakes, but actually me going to actually get one, Dwight.
Wow.
Okay. That's hilarious.
What did he say that he said just do it?
So he took me to this exotic reptile store in Houston. Yeah.
Is it like an bro, I've been there. It has his name. They got like everything. They got like monitors, like lizards. They got, it's called like J&J or something. They got scorpions.
Did they have a tiger there before?
I don't know if they had a tiger, but they had crate, like things like that, you know, like a bear.
Yeah, they have all type of stuff. Like they have the flying monkeys. They got the,
I'm going to try to look up the name.
Yeah, I'll know it, but it's like off Beltway 8.
Man, hold up. I don't remember where it is. This is where, because I found that spot. Basically, what happened is I found that spot in high school. I don't remember how, but I found that spot. I showed it to my friend, and he actually started buying things from it, and I didn't.
Hold on. I'm gonna be able to tell you right now.
If you find a picture of that fish tank, that's the last thing I got to see here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fish guy.
Yeah, I just gotta go to my interior designer's exotic pet store, Houston.
S&S by Aldean. That's the one I think I'm thinking of. I think.
S&S exotic animals.
Yep.
There we go.
S&S exotic animals.
Yeah, man, that is, bro, that's crazy. So Dwight took you to that spot in Houston. What year? Oh, is this when you were like a rookie?
This is my rookie year. But the crazy part is, I got my first one from Petco.
That's a ball. You got the ball python from Petco, right?
I got the ball python from Petco. Like I originally had one that was like a green. I had a green one, the basic brown python. Mm-hmm. But then I found this exotic one that was at Petco, and it was only which was max $350. I'm thinking this snake was gonna be a little bit more than that. So I seen the colorway, like he literally, it's a bumblebee python. Looks like a bumblebee.
Right.
So when I tell you, like, I was like, nah, I still went and took that snake back, and then I went and got Max. And that was my very first one. And so, like, I even got pictures on my Instagram. I was at the White House, and I had this big old Burmese python on my neck, a green python. His snake handler was his, and he brought him to his house, and he's like, "Yo, pull up, to the crib." And now I sit up here and like, because I was into him, but I've been into reptiles like my whole life. Never had one until my rookie year, but that's just that was just my thing. Like my favorite show was Steve Irwin. No, rest in peace.
Rest in peace, man. A legend. Legend.
Yeah. So that's really like what sparked my interest was him.
Yeah.
So like all of them, the situations, like if anything was to go down or anything, like I would know what to do just based off of watching him.
See, I was born year of the snake, 89. So just from the jump, like when you find that out as a kid, you're just like, yeah, snakes tight, like them, you know, like I'm into snakes, bro. I am year of the snake. Therefore, I like snake. Pause. But that's awesome, man. Yeah, that's insane. Just what? So someone said, I'm at the White House, pull up. White House with a Burmese python, pull up. That
he was like, I'm at the crib. You know, I got this new pet that I'm thinking about getting. And I'm like, all right. He was like, yo, pull up. And as a rookie, you can't sit up here and say no. Like, you know, your vet tell you come somewhere, you got to be there. You got to. So I pulled up to his house, and then sure enough, you know, he had this big ass, it was like 12 feet. Big ass, heavy ass snake. A big Burmese python.
You're not married, are you?
No, sir.
How's that with the ladies?
Man.
You got any good stories? You fucking just scare the shit out of them?
I have scared the shit out of people before. but I had made it a rule that people had to, like, in order to come into my house, like at some point you was gonna have to hold them. Like at some point. But then I seen somebody at one point when I was single. When I was single back in, was it 2016? Somebody had like a panic attack just from like the just from looking at them. And then when I went to go actually put them out the cage, like they literally like, bro. And it was some girl that my boy was talking to, like he was trying to impress or whatnot. And you know, he was trying to do the utmost, and she realized I had a panic attack.
Oh God.
But nah, the girl I talk to now, she's not afraid of us.
Rob, I am a lawyer. I'm not giving you legal advice. I'm just giving you friendly advice. Definitely be careful, because if somebody does pass out and some crazy happens, or if your snake hurts somebody, they could definitely come after you. Just some friendly,
but that's the thing. I always warn people.
Sign this affidavit.
I always warn people and be like, look, I'm not responsible for anything that happens. You know, don't. I said I know how to handle my snakes. If you're curious, cool. I'll do it, but. If you're not fooling with it, then I said, but if you next to my tank and you're peeking in the tank, like trying to figure out and look and see, you might as well hold it. Like if you're so curious, then you might as well hold it.
So retirement, you're going to be like a pro snake handler or what are we talking here? Zookeeper?
Oh, I definitely would do something with animals. Like I said, hold on.
The next tiger team? Pull up.
No, I ain't say all that. I ain't that bold. But the crazy part is, I did want a white tiger when I was younger. But then when I actually got older, I'm like, yeah, you know, they cool as a cub and everything. They all cute. But when they get too big, That's a lot. That's a big animal.
Bro, sure. I love animals. I love animals, same as you. Oh, that's my little man in the back. But it's my little dog.
Looks like Marty's a statue.
Marty's getting some screen time. Marty, what's good? No, but I love animals, man, same as you. Like, I came up on Discovery Channel and Steve Irwin and like all that stuff. So I love animals. And I was like, when I was young, I thought, oh man, it'd be so tight to have like a snow leopard or like, you know, a tiger, a lion.
Yeah.
But then you realize, man, as soon as that thing's like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months old, it's trouble.
That mob big, and they as a kid, they like teething.
Yeah.
They're like, that's a whole process.
Do you have any like just domestic animals? Here's my other dog in the background chilling. But do you have like,
yeah, I had 3 dogs, but my oldest one passed.
Right here.
Rest in peace, man. Yeah. Sorry to hear that. It's got to be awful.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was my dog. He was a big ass Cane Corso.
Straight out of Sandlot style.
Yeah, he was Cane Corso, big old black dog. Oh, let me show you a picture of him.
Fat mastiff.
Man, when I tell you, he weighed, I think 146.
Woo.
146, and he was only 2.
Oh, that's terrible.
He was only 2 years old.
Man,
he passed away from a freak accident though. It wasn't nothing against nobody or anything. It was a straight freak accident.
Too bad.
I'm so sorry to hear that, bro.
Man, like,
these 2 dogs I have are my children, man. I love them.
Well, we appreciate you, man. This has been a blast. Good catching up with you. Here you go here.
Yeah, let me find this video.
I got a feeling after this year they're not gonna want to let you go, and you're gonna be calling Portland home for a while, as you deserve. You deserve a home for a while, man. It's also a good place, man, just to have a home. That's beautiful out there.
That is the goal, is to have a home. Like, as y'all can see, he chill.
CJ, man. Get fully healthy. It's happening. That's crazy.
Bro, that's so chill. Tight. Rob, you got to do like a photo shoot or something. You got to give, Dane.
I already have.
You
have? I already have done a photo shoot.
There you go. I was going to say, you got to give.
I did one when I was in Minnesota.
Okay. I didn't see that. I'm going to find that.
Yeah, I did one in Minnesota.
But I was going
to
say,
Minnesota Zoo is no joke.
You gotta give one of those to a Dame or to another friend of the show.
And ain't nobody gonna sit up here and take it.
No, nobody. I don't mean give him. I'm saying give it to him for just like if he ever wants to do like a music video for any of his songs or anything like that.
Ain't nobody fooling with.
Oh,
ain't nobody fooling with. When I say nobody, I mean nobody fooling with.
All right,
that's hilarious, man. Well, yo, Rob, we appreciate your time, man. Is there anything, like any last thoughts or comments or whatever you want to get out, anything you want to say or talk about before we get out of here?
Man, I just appreciate y'all for, man, even having me on here, man.
Well, thank you.
Great, I appreciate man. Y'all for having me on here.
This was super fun.
I'm trying to find this picture before y'all go. I keep switching through both my phones. I keep switching through both my phones. This Ken. This guy?
No, your dog.
Oh, the one that passed is Jax, and then my other two is Joker and Deuce. I got a pit bull. I got a Merle pit, and then a blue Brindu Cane Corso.
Wow, those are pretty dogs, man.
See? Oh, those let me see. Dogs. I got a picture. I got a picture of his fish tank. I have a picture of his fish tank, but I think it is the. Oh, this is the starter effect. This is the starter effect of it. So you can kind of get an idea of how big it's going to be.
Yep. That's nice. Wow. That's good size.
Yep.
Okay, it's in the ground, or are you building that in like a wall build?
It's gonna be a wall build.
Awesome.
But it's basically gonna have its own wall to itself. Like,
that's what I'm talking about.
So we definitely, like, I've made major changes. I put a resort style pool in my house.
Nice.
Like, it's gonna be,
that's the Tennessee.
When I tell you bananas.
Ooh.
Like, and it goes up to, I think, 10 feet. Oh, so you can get an idea of it. This is how big it is. Like, that's me.
Standing oh, wow. Up that's
in, that's me standing up in the deep end.
Wow. That's tight. Congratulations on that.
That's me standing in the deep end of it.
Yeah, that's an off season in the waiting right there for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, Rob, man. Take it easy, man. Best of luck. Wish you nothing but the health. Best health. And I hope CJ gets good for everyone so he can get you to the top here.
Yeah, once we get back to full health, man, it's gonna be scary.
All right, take care, my man.
Yeah, thank you, Rob. Hey, we had a lot of fun, man. If you could do us a favor and just retweet whenever we drop this, probably next week, that would be awesome. And we'll have to you back on the show at some point.
For sure, my guy.
Hey, thank you, man. We'll be doing it for you.
All right, man. Appreciate you, baby.